This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. We're talking about corporate governance. Because last week, engineering firm Serbodynamic announced that it was looking to commence an independent review on audit findings flagged by their external audit firm, KPMG. Now, these issues raised were related to sales transactions, receivables and payables amounting to over 3 billion ringgit.
After the news broke that Serbodynamic was calling an EGM with the aim of removing KPMG as auditors, the company's share price went into free fall. It lost nearly half of its market cap after shares fell to 82 cents yesterday from 161 at the end of last month. The company has since withdrawn its EGM notice.
However, the incident has raised questions over the role of independent directors in cases like these. Since seeing as KPMG did direct its audit concerns originally to Serbodynamic's independent directors, governance bodies like the Malaysian Institute of Corporate Governance have called on those independent directors to speak out in order to help minority shareholders understand the issue.
So, what is the purpose of an independent director, and how is that role changing in an age where minority shareholders are becoming more active in making their voices heard? To help us with that, this morning we're speaking with David Berry, Deputy President at MICG, the Malaysian Institute of Corporate Governance. David, thanks so much for joining us today. So typically, what role does an independent director on a board play versus those who are non-independent?
Well, that's actually a very interesting question. Legally, there's no difference between a non-independent director and an independent director. In law, directors are defined by holding the office, and the duties and responsibilities of directors are identical because it's just directed to directors. So when you come up with the idea of an independent director, this is a construct which has been put together by corporate governance people and regulators to ensure that boards are not populated only by people who are beholden to controlling shareholders or beholden to the management or whatever, people that are able to exercise independent judgment and are not in any way compromised in their ability to do that.
In the wake of Serbodynamic's audit issue, MICG issued a statement calling for the company's independent directors to come forward and shed some light on the audit concerns for shareholders. Is this something typically expected of independent directors or even the audit committee?
What we actually noticed, I think if you read the statement that we issued, what we actually noticed was the fact that the audit committee and the independent directors appeared to be silent. The early statements that were made came from the executive, and then, of course, there was that notice delivered by one director who was called described as non-independent and non-executive. That notice has now been withdrawn, as you said. But there did not appear to be statements from the board as a whole, and that was what the concern was about. Is that. It is the board that represents the company. So that meant that there appeared to be, and we don't know, but there appeared to be a lack of consensus amongst the directors. The dialogue was being driven from two places, but the rest of the board was silent. The announcement that came out overnight about the withdrawal of the EGM was an announcement by the board. So it does appear as if the board has now is acting in some sort of consensus or agreement. It doesn't mean that they're unified, and the boards don't have to be unified, but there needs to have developed a consensus. Does that help you?
I think so, David. But when we take a look at the scene here, how often do we actually see independent directors exercising their powers to highlight certain issues to shareholders? Do we see that happen?
Perhaps not as often as it might, but very often what happens with the independent directors is that their voices are heard within the board, and the board's view is affected by what the independent directors have to say as well. The point of an independent director is not to have public disagreements with the non-independent directors, but it is to make sure that the board hears the views of the independent directors so that when they make decisions, the collective knowledge and experience of the directors is brought to bear on the decisions that are made. If the board decides that it wants to go into a particular direction and an independent director does not agree with that, then the independent director has a right to ask that it ask for his or her opinion to be recorded in the minutes of the meeting. If it gets to a point where a board is absolutely divided and there is a meeting of shareholders, independent directors do have an ability to express an independent view. And they can request this. In this case, it's not arisen because the whole scenario has been removed. But that's the way that it works.
So can minority shareholders demand that an explanation for an audit issue be given by these independent directors? And should other non-independent board members, or can they actually block this?
Well, and it depends on the way the votes go about blocking it. The first thing that minority shareholders can do, and you have people like the institutional directors have joined with the minority shareholders representatives to call for a proper dialogue. That's the first step. The next step is that if the regulators are concerned, and there's a job for the regulators here, they step in and say, look, we think that there needs more clarity, and we think the ground rules should be as follows. And there's a long history of regulators stepping in particular situations and saying, this is what we now think needs to happen, and here are the rules of the game for this particular exercise. It hasn't reached that at this stage, but it's interesting to note that some of the regulators had already said they were looking closely at this situation.
There are sometimes questions as to whether companies only appoint friendly parties. What can be done to strengthen the role of independent directors and audit committees, or should we increase penalties?
I think before we rush to penalties, I think it's necessary to look at the role of independent directors and how they're chosen. There used to be, and this is how we got here, but we're turning the clock back 30 over years. It used to be that boards, particularly boards of companies where you had a hard-charging owner or chief executive, appointed so-called independent directors. The non-executive directors, they were there to make up the numbers. They were there to nod and say yes and let the business go. So what happens with the new definition of a responsibility of directors is that if you sit there and you nod and just let everything go because the chief executive or the chairman or the owner is so strong in the way that they express their opinions, and something then goes wrong, the law says that you as a director are equally responsible with all the other directors. You can't turn around when it all ends up in front of the court and say, oh, but I remember at the time I felt uncomfortable about it. Because if it's not recorded in the minutes, you can't use that as a defense. So the idea of having independent directors who were not there just to make up the numbers, who were not there to make sure that it was plain sailing for the controlling element, that has changed. Today, the way that things should be done in a company is that a company looks at what it needs in terms of a new director, for instance. What are the company's needs? What does that mean in terms of the skills and experience and background of the candidates that we want to review?
Yes.
And is independence an important issue for us? And then you look at independence from the classic way of looking at independence is, does the individual have any relationship with a major shareholder? Are they themselves an important shareholder? Are they coming from the executives of the company or not?
Yes.
Are we seeing that they are part of a major supplier to the company? In which case, would they be regarded as independent? Because that's supplier relies very heavily on the business decisions of the company and so on.
That was David Berry, Deputy President at the Malaysian Institute of Corporate Governance, talking to us about the role of independent directors. Up next, the 9 o'clock news and then the KLCI opening numbers. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.